New Testament reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. This can be found in the Bibles in front of you on page 1112. Verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Here ends the New Testament reading.
And would you welcome Stephen Lungu to the platform, please, Stephen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
That's much better. This time I brought my wife, Rachel, the best woman in the world. We are now married 42 years. If the Lord gave me a chance to marry again, I would marry her again and again. She's a special gift into my life, and I am what I am because of her, who has helped me to shape me up, because we men are sometimes difficult to handle, but she has managed to handle me. So she needed much grace to handle Stephen Lungu. So we praise God that we've been together all these years, and it's been exciting to be married, exciting to refresh our marriage again and again in the Lord. We have come with our brother Jeff and his wife, who are hosting us, and they are surviving my snoring, because I snore professionally. So God blesses, with sleep those he loves. So he loves me very much, and so I enjoy my sleep every evening. I want to praise God that the Lord has been good. I don't know how many years we were here. It was exciting during our time here, and this is like coming back home. And thank you very much for welcoming us again. You are lovely people, and especially the choir sings so well. I wish I could sing like you. But unfortunately, I have a bad voice. I sing like a frog, but I have a preaching voice. And because I'm used to preaching at the marketplaces, in the buses, in the trains, everywhere I stand, I preach. And so Africa is an exciting place where you can preach anywhere. And you don't need to ask for permission to preach. But here you have to be very careful. But in Africa, you can stand up anywhere and preach the gospel. Last time I was here, I was reporting how God has been blessing us, even in our church, as in the Presbyterian church, where we used to be called the chosen frozen ones. But now the Presbyterian, we are on fire for God. God has moved in the Presbyterian church in such a way that the Spirit of God is touching lives, and every day we are seeing new people coming to the Lord. Every week we are seeing many, many people coming to Jesus, which is exciting. And we never used to clap hands. We never used to say hallelujah. I was excommunicated twice for saying hallelujah in my church. But now you can shout hallelujah. And you can dance and sing and clap hands. It's really transformed the Presbyterian church. And we started a prayer meeting which has grown and spread out into all Presbyterian churches. This prayer meeting started from 5 a.m. to 6 o'clock. But now the numbers were growing and people were complaining that 1 hour was not enough to pray. So we added from 4 to 6. And people still complain. So now we pray some churches 3 to 6. And you find 800 people coming to prayer meeting in the morning before they go to work. So every church has a prayer meeting going on, full of the Spirit of God, and people crying to God. And the changes in our church has been so, so wonderful. And many people are getting converted in the morning prayer meetings, not preaching, just praying, but people just break down, coming to the Lord, just through a prayer meeting. So that's the Spirit of God, you know, moving in the Presbyterian church. So that has spread out around Malawi, all the Presbyterian churches. God is doing mighty things through these prayer meetings. Miracles also happening. If you have never seen miracles, come to Africa. You'll see many, many miracles. And so I want to thank God that God has blessed us. It has been a struggle, excommunicated many times and so on, disciplined and so on. But God, you know, through that persecution, has made us strong and has made us excited that the church has transformed to where it is today. And so I've been traveling around. Just 3 weeks ago, I was in France and Germany and Switzerland, preaching around there. Well, they made a big crusade for me to be the main speaker, and the Lord moved quite a lot in France. Many people came forward to accept the Lord Jesus. That was exciting to see many French people coming to Christ. And also in Switzerland, that was a wonderful blessing. And last year, I was invited to preach at Pentagon, which is a no-go area. But God opened the doors to preach to these CIA intelligence and the military people. Going through the security doors was just quite tough. But God is so good that the Lord used the preaching of the message on Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That was a simple message, But to see some of these top generals, standing up in tears, accepting the Lord Jesus, that is really exciting. So God is taking Africans back to the West. They gave us the gospel, but we are taking it back to them. And so we are bringing it back even to Australia. So we thank God that the Lord is here blessing us. Now this morning, very quickly, because of your gadget, I've got to watch this thing. In Africa, we don't watch this thing. I've got to watch this thing because of the second service. And so we want to, the Lord to bless us. I want to read from, I won't go through the whole chapter, but Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 is a story of Jesus being anointed by a sinful woman. Luke chapter 7, from verse 36. And now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." And this is a serious matter when Jesus has something to tell you. Jesus has something to tell you. And then two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this? Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Wow, what a wonderful message. I don't need to preach after reading this. Wow, this is powerful. Now, the book of Mark, chapter 66, says, verse 16 says, "Come and listen, all who fear. Let me tell you what he has done for me. Come and listen, and all who fear God, let me tell you what he has done for me." This is an expression from the heart. When someone is trying to express him or herself from the heart, it is a deep, deep thing which comes deep down. But some, they cannot express it by words. The only expression is they express it by tears. Especially ladies, they like to express with tears. They cry easily. And the tears are just right around the corner. But that's an expression from the heart. For me, when God has blessed me and I'm tongue-tied, I can't say a word, I find myself weeping. Because before I became a Christian from the age of 6 until when I was 20 years old, I never used to laugh. Imagine from the age of 6 up to 20, no laughter. I even told my gang, if you ever laugh in my presence, I'll kill you. I remember shooting one of my friends at his thigh because he had laughed and he went around laughing and I followed him. I said, why are you laughing? Who told you to laugh? And I shot him on his thighs. I was an angry boy with his bitterness against God, against everything, and I never used to laugh. But the moment Jesus saved me when I was 20 years old, I've never stopped laughing. And I enjoy laughing. Because when God did this in my life, there was no other way of expressing myself except crying. Or maybe laughing. You know, the joy which God had given me was something. Now, here is this story. Jesus is invited by one of the Pharisees. And his name, to be precise, was Simon the leper. Mark chapter 14, verse 3 tells you that he was Simon the leper. Simon was one of the Pharisees, top class, one of the elite of that time, but one day he had leprosy. And so he had to take a bell to ring in the streets, I'm unclean, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. Everyone had to avoid him. One of those top guys. And so he had to ring this bell, but suddenly somewhere he got well, when he got well, he couldn't go back to this fold of the elite. He had to be accepted back. But for him to be accepted back, he had to do something. So he invites Jesus. He invites Jesus to his house. And then someone who fell out of grace invites Jesus, and then he saw well and he says, now, what must I do? Let me find a fault with Jesus. Then I can take it to the Pharisees. And when I take this fault to the Pharisees, they will accept me in the fold. So his invitation was subtle. He had something behind his mind, because when Jesus comes to the house of this Pharisee, number one, as a Pharisee, he didn't greet Jesus. He didn't give him water. He didn't even kiss him. There was no greeting. So he had to make sure that this guy, there's no way I can affiliate with him so much, because I have a story to tell the other Pharisees to be accepted back into the fold of the elite. So he was looking for something negative about Jesus. But now, meanwhile, while they are reclining on the table, something happened in the house. Here comes a woman uninvited. And she's a sinful woman. Uninvited, she comes into the house. And you should have seen all the faces frowning, getting down, very angry that she has come into the house. So she was, you know, she was prepared to be looked down and ridiculed by the elite of that time. And that woman broke the whole dinner protocol. The whole dinner protocol was broken by this woman, and made all the faces frown into the house. And some lost their appetite, I think. Because how can this woman come here while we're having dinner? And so she broke the whole protocol in the house. And she stands behind Jesus. And everyone is watching. And when she stands behind Jesus, what does she do? She starts weeping. Before she does anything else behind Jesus, she starts weeping. That was a broken heart. The Bible says God will never overlook at a broken and contrite heart. God will watch a broken and a contrite heart. But this woman, something happened because seeing Jesus and her life, something was, you know, taking place in her life. No, I'm a sinful woman. I'm unworthy. So the only thing she could express out with her heart was tears. Knowing that I'm a sinner, there's no way I'm unworthy before this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Very unworthy. So she starts crying. And then later on, she's crying, while, you know, waiting the feet of Jesus. And now she uses her hair to wipe his legs. Man, I don't know whether Australians could have done that with all your hairdos and all your perfumes and all the makeups. Now, to take that hair and wipe someone's feet, man, that was something going beyond yourself, that humility in crying. So she takes her hair, wiping the feet of Jesus, saying that I'm a nobody. I'm unworthy, and you are worthy. I'm a nobody. I've come so low just to bring myself at your feet. But now she doesn't end there. She began to wipe her feet and so on with her hair. She kissed them. She kissed the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine that? This woman was going from one extreme to the other. She starts by crying. She starts by, you know, wetting his feet and then wiping with her hair. And then she kissed the feet of Jesus. And after kissing the feet of Jesus, what does she do? She takes the alabaster bottle and breaks it. Ma, the whole house was filled with that perfume, the aroma of that perfume. But the Bible says that perfume was worthy a year's wages. Now, let's imagine what your pastor gets a year. Then let's calculate what he gets a year. And then no tax there. And then she brings all that amount of money, a year's wage. She breaks it and then pours it at the feet of Jesus. All what she had said, no, there's no price impossible to break or to give to Jesus. There's nothing which is, you know, so precious. I will break it to Jesus, for Jesus. So she breaks that alabaster bottle for Jesus. And then she pours that alabaster. And now those people inside were saying, no, 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 that's a waste. She's wasting that lot of money and so on. And then Simon says, now, if Jesus were a prophet, if Jesus were a prophet, he would not have allowed this woman to touch him. If Jesus were a prophet, he would not allow this woman to touch him. But remember, this was a Simon the leper complaining about the woman who was a sinner. He's healed. He's trying to get back to the elite of that country, or the Pharisees. And now here is a woman who does all what he does. He didn't greet Jesus. He didn't wet the feet of Jesus, but the woman does it. And he's the one who is complaining about the woman, what she has done. He is in the same boat. According to the Jewish culture at that time, he was as bad as the woman because of leprosy. So he is condemning this woman while he is in the same boat, that he still has to justify himself to the Pharisees, and yet he's still condemning this woman. But Jesus looks at the woman and he says to him, says to Simon the leper, "You did not give me, water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time she entered, has not stopped kissing my feet." Now, I don't know how she was doing it. Non-stop. She was kissing the feet of Jesus. Her heart was overwhelmed with joy, overwhelmed with this remorse inside. And so she had to kiss the feet of Jesus. And then he said, "You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loves much." Now, I didn't understand this scripture for many years. She loves much. I remember my testimony when I came here last time, when I told you my story. I was a gang leader on Sunday. I'm born again. At 7 o'clock, I was a typical gang leader, far away from God. But by 8 o'clock, I hear the message. And when I heard that message, I broke down in tears. For the first time in 20 years, I break down in tears. I'm crying. There was no spanking. There was no being beaten. But that night, when I heard the message and the message pricked my heart, I was a boy who never cried, who never laughed. But that night, I cried. I couldn't control myself as I took my guns and my bombs from the back and walked forward, knelt at the feet of that preacher. That was my turning point. I was in tears, broken before God. And I knew I was a sinner. I needed this grace before the Lord. And so Jesus says, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much." But now, after being saved on Sunday evening, and on Monday, less than 24 hours, I'm going to the police to surrender myself, got into the bus. And when I got to the bus, I couldn't handle myself, the joy, the peace, the excitement. And I couldn't sit, and I looked at all the people in the bus, looked miserable, unhappy. So I stood up in the bus. I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, last night Jesus came into my heart." And everyone was shocked in the bus. And I said, "My sins are forgiven." I was bubbling with joy. And one man who was tough and strong, he said, "You shut up. We don't preach on Mondays." So he pushed me out of the bus. And I was dusting myself. I said, "Well, I'll get to the next bus." When the next bus pulled in, I said, "I'll tell the driver. I said, driver, last night Jesus came into my heart. My sins are forgiven." I was bubbling with joy. And I mean, I couldn't zip my mouth. My brothers, my sisters, when you see the invisible King, the Lord of Lords, man, you are unstoppable. When you see Jesus, like this woman, you are unstoppable. Because as the psalmist says, "Hey, come, I will tell you what the Lord has done for me." And so here was this woman. God had forgiven him. God had touched her life. God had changed her life. Now, how do you stop this woman to talk about Jesus? How do you zip the mouth of this woman to talk about Jesus? Man, when she came into the house, she was miserable, unhappy, no joy, no peace. But when Jesus says to her, Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Now, visualize that woman leaving that house. She was never the same. She was never the same. I think she was like me, dancing around. You know, she was joining the angels in heaven because the Bible says there's so much joy in heaven when one sinner comes to Christ. And I thank God all the angels in heaven dance like Africans. They don't dance like Australians. You don't know how to dance. You need to come to Africa. We'll teach. John was there. He saw what happens in Africa. Man, we dance in Africa. And so I think the angels dance like Africans. But look at this woman leaving that house, the joy. Man, the excitement. She went without peace, she comes with peace. She goes without joy, she comes out with joy. Man, what a glorious moment it is. So often, many people come to church. They come to church Sunday after Sunday. The message of joy is preached, but they go out exactly the same way as they came in. There's no joy, there's no excitement. There's no change after through the message. And so this lady, God touched her, and Jesus says, your sins have been forgiven. And then he says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And I remember in that second bus when I started telling the driver. I said, driver, last night Jesus came into my heart. I can't remember what I was talking about, but it was full of joy. And one lady, as people were crying in the bus, one lady said, young man, what must we do? I said, well, I don't know, because I didn't know how to lead someone to Jesus. I was less than 24 hours in the Lord. So she said, what must we do? I said, I don't know. But when we got downtown, all those people were crying. I forced them to kneel down in the middle of the street. He said, do you mean we must pray while people are walking to and fro? I said, yes, I just did it yesterday. So I forced all of them to kneel down. And they were all repenting and, you know, inviting Jesus into their lives. And out of those people, three are full-time pastors serving the Lord up to now. I was less than 24 hours, but I led these people and the people who are preaching the word of God, but I was less than 24 hours in the Lord. When I had met with Jesus, man, the joy, the peace was so glorious. I couldn't contain myself. Now, how do you stop your mouth to talk about Jesus? So many people have been blessed like this woman, but they've never broken the alabaster bottle of their lives. What is so precious, like 1 year's wages, they've never broken it for Jesus. They've never given over to Jesus. Those things are still precious. What is it is precious in your life? Is it your car, your house, or your achievement, or academically? What is it which is precious in your life? Have you ever broken that for Jesus? Now, when you break it for Jesus, something has to take place inside you. And so what happened to me that night when I broke my whole thing, what was precious to me, my gang was precious, my AK-47 was precious, my knife was precious, that's how I lived. I survived through these guns and bombs and so on. But the moment I met with Jesus, I was never the same again. And when I went to the police, I said, I'm under arrest. They said, what? I said, I'm under arrest. They said, where's the police officer? I said, you couldn't arrest me, but Jesus has arrested my heart. They said, what? I said, Jesus has arrested my heart. They didn't understand what I was talking about, but I was full of joy that morning, you know, because of what God had done for me. So Jesus says here, but he who has been forgiven little loves little, but one who has been forgiven much loves much. The question is, my brothers and sisters, how much do you love Jesus? How much in your life do you love Jesus? What do you have that quality time with God? Of your love, that intimacy with God. How much do you love? How much do you spend your time with your prayer in your prayer life? How much do you spend your time in your Bible reading? How much do you spend your time, you know, that fellowship with God, that quality time? How much? The one who has been forgiven much loves much. But the one who has been forgiven little loves little. But my question is, my brother, my sister, it can be possible for many years having the same level of your Christian walk. You don't go downwards, you don't go upwards, but on the same level for years and years. Never go upwards, never go downwards, on the same level. And that's a dangerous place, on that same level. Many people have been born again for many years, but up to now, not one soul they've ever led to Jesus. They've never talked to someone about Jesus. That passion inside is no more there. The excitement, the joy of knowing I have been forgiven and I know I can walk in peace because of what Jesus has done for me. Oh, may God help us that we'll come to that place where we say, yes, Lord Jesus, I've heard that word. I will walk out in peace because Jesus said, your sins have been forgiven. Are your sins forgiven? Are you in right relationship with God? And this morning you can say, yes, Lord, I've been on this level for too long. I want to come to the foot of the cross that I may go higher, higher and higher. This same level can be your familiar position, but God wants to take you higher on an unfamiliar position where you find God in a new way. And it is in this unfamiliar position, God is fresh, and anointing is fresh, your passion is fresh, because it's unfamiliar position. God wants to take you, like this woman, from this position to that position, so that when he says, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Man, you can walk out from this building knowing that he has touched my life afresh. May God help us to come to that position. Amen.